And Americans for the Arts.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, a class action lawsuit has been filed in federal court in Tampa. It claims that redistricting is actively depriving African Americans of the right to vote in one local county. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Later in this program, we'll also bring you some live coverage of the debate over the impeachment from the U.S. House of Representatives of Washington, D.C. But first, one listener comment about the interview yesterday with the human rights activist from Israel. Here's what one listener had to say.
So yesterday with Cody O'Rourke of Good Shepherd Ministries, I really loved your comment that you have been discussing WMNF sponsoring a tour of Israel and Palestine, and so please sign me up. Clark, Ybor City.
We have a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. Well, a federal lawsuit has been filed in Tampa against the Sarasota County Commission's new redistricting map. The discrimination claim stems from the fact that Sarasota commissioners drew new districts this year, removing the historically African-American community of Newtown and surrounding neighborhoods from Sarasota Commission District 1, which is up for election next year. The African-American voters were largely moved to neighboring districts, making the possibility of electing an African-American county commissioner in Sarasota almost impossible. The lawsuit was filed by Hugh Culverhouse, a Sarasota and Miami resident, and Larry Kellogg in Miami, also Stephen D. Hutton of Sarasota. And we're expecting to be joined by Hugh Culverhouse and Larry Kellogg right now. And let's go to the phones. And Larry Kellogg, is that you?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Larry, thank you for coming on WMNF. Set up this lawsuit. What are you claiming in federal court?
Well, what we're claiming is that, unfortunately, the county, Sarasota County, has decided to racially gerrymander, meaning that it is drawing boundary districts to deprive a group of African-American voters in a defined community from voting in next year's election. We allege that they did it in order to ensure that there would be a white commissioner elected to District 1, which, you know, previously to this latest move, Newtown was in District 1. They're doing this because for the first time ever, the way to elect county commissioners was changed from countywide, meaning everybody in the county would vote for each commissioner in each district. They changed that to only those voters in a particular district can vote for that commissioner. That has the effect of undoing the dilution of black voters in District 1. So in response to that, the county commissioners decided to do an early, what we allege, an early redistricting, meaning before the 2020 census was completed. And without any data to support that, instead of waiting until next year's census to see where people actually live, they decided to do it early. And by doing so, the one declared candidate in District 1 was an African-American who's served as commissioner of the city of Sarasota as well as the mayor of Sarasota. And they've taken him and made him ineligible to run in the next year's election. They moved him and his constituency right out of the district.
All right. So we're talking about a civil rights lawsuit that was filed in Tampa, and our guests are Larry Kellogg. He's in Miami. He's on the phone with us right now. And also Sarasota attorney Hugh Culverhouse joins us on the phone. And Hugh, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Good to be there.
So
it's an interesting case. If somebody looked back to 1950, they would actually recognize this as an identical type of case.
Do you think that this sets Sarasota backwards? Does it take us back in terms of race representation, representation of African Americans in local government?
It takes us back to Birmingham, except we haven't brought out German shepherds and water hoses.
Mm. There are already a couple of candidates in the race, as I understand it. Is that right, in the race for the District 1 seat in Sarasota County Commission?
there is Mike Moran, who was elected approximately 3.5 years ago when the whole county could vote for all commissioners. This is his second time, but the only people who will vote are those people in District 1. And 12% of the people in District 1 before the commission moved 8,000 of them were black. And that scared the three Republicans and the people who got them elected. And the part that isn't written about is the Republican group that supports Moran were so afraid that they not only took out 8,000 of the 12,000 black people in District 1, but they added, by gerrymandering the map, they added 10,000 more whites from a Republican district, so that now this district is 90% white, and the blacks who were moved do not have the right to vote for commissioner, because the district they were moved to on purpose has a commissioner who's not up for election for two more years. But let's look at this for what it really is. This is phase one. In 2 years, those 8,000 blacks will be moved back into District 1, where Mike Moran will obviously be elected. And for two more years, they can't vote for commissioner. Phase three, they move them back into District 2, where they won't be able to vote. So you're going to permanently take away the right of 8,000 blacks in Sarasota. And this is the biggest population. They are congregated in a historic area called Newtown. And this is what you're going to do to them.
Well, we're talking
and
about a...
with the commissioners would not go along with it because they were experts hired by the county. But the experts would not move Newtown out. So the commissioners who voted for it took a map drawn in crayon from a man charged twice with criminal offenses, convicted. One of them had to do with political fraud in Sarasota. They took his map over their $90,000 expert. Now tell me what's right about that.
Well, we're talking about the redrawing of maps for the Sarasota County Commission, and our two guests claim that racial discrimination is involved in the redrawing of the maps. Larry Kellogg, let me go back to you for a second. Is it legal? I thought you had to wait until the census was done and we got the new population figures before new maps were drawn for districts. Is it legal to draw new maps before the census?
It is legal to draw them in odd-numbered years. But the practice is you draw them based upon current information as to who lives where. We don't have any of that, and we will not have any current information until the year 2020. You look around the state of Florida, and you're not going to find any other counties or legislative districts that are being redrawn the year before the census and 9 years after the last census. They had to actually project who might be living where, and those projections have a lot of flaws in it, and admittedly so, because the people who made them are making them based on old data.
Hugh Culverhouse, you're saying that essentially what's going on is racial gerrymandering.
Well, you can call it that, but you're discriminating against blacks in a way that you're taking away their right to vote permanently. Hey, let's face it, this phase one, do you think really in 2 years they're going to say, we've emancipated you, we're Abraham Lincoln, we passed the 15th Amendment, and you blacks now have the right to vote? Are you kidding me? This is permanent.
The gentleman who drew up the map that's ultimately being used by the Sarasota County Commission to come up with these new maps, you said that he was found guilty of campaign violations, and he's not an upstanding citizen, is he?
No, and as a matter of fact, there was another map introduced at that hearing by a former commissioner, and it turned out Bob Wechter drew the map that she stated came from her.
Man, Bob Wechter is a guy who has a questionable background.
Yes. He also submitted his map using a false name.
That kind of trick, I mean, I wonder, in this day and age, why would somebody try to do that kind of trick? Let me ask you, who uncovered that this trick was...
Because you got three commissioners in your pocket.
Who uncovered that this trick was used?
The Sarasota Herald Tribune. They did some investigative reporting, some forensic analysis of his emails and other things he had sent, and at first he denied that he was the author, and then finally admitted it. Due to the paper's efforts.
Well, we're talking with attorneys Hugh Culverhouse of Sarasota and Larry Kellogg in Miami. They and another attorney, Steve Hutton, have filed a class action lawsuit in federal court in Tampa over the redrawing of county commission districts in Sarasota, and they allege racial discrimination. So, Larry, let me ask you this. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled this year that federal courts can't stop elected officials from drawing districts for purely political purposes. Can't the Sarasota Commission just say, look, we drew it for a political purpose, you don't have a case?
Well, the Supreme Court also said in that same opinion that you cannot redraw districts based upon race. So it reaffirmed that position, and that's going to be the issue here. Are they really going to come out and say we did this for political purposes? Incidentally, unlike the federal constitution, our Florida state constitution prohibits both political and racial gerrymandering for legislative districts and for congressional districts. Unclear whether that applies to a county commission, the county commission level. But in our state, unlike the federal constitution, and again, the United States Supreme Court's recent decision pointed out that Florida has its own constitutional provisions that say you cannot politically gerrymander or racially gerrymander. But that will be the issue. If they're going to come in and say, well, we just did this for politics to make sure that we protect our political party or particular commissioners, I don't think that's a good political move for them to make that argument, honestly.
Hugh Culverhouse, your name is famous because of your dad's involvement in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the original owners of the Bucs. You're from a prominent family. Why are you involved in this case?
Well, I don't know if it's a prominent family, given the record of wins and losses, but it's fairly simple. It's wrong. It's wrong. To sit back and allow it to occur would distress me about myself. Every citizen should stand up. I have the ability to do it. I stood up in Alabama against an anti-abortion act and a law school that was named for me. Had the name ripped off and my donation sent back without even asking me one question. So I do what I feel is right. And in this case, discriminating against blacks is wrong. Likewise, telling women if they are gang raped, they can't get an abortion if they are the victim of incest, they can't get an abortion, is wrong. And that is what the federal court found.
Larry Kellogg, what kind of remedy are you seeking? I mean, the election, if they had not redrawn the maps, the election would have gone ahead and the final election would have been held next November. What kind of remedy are you seeking?
What we're seeking is an injunction from the federal court that says you can't use this map ever. It's wrong. You need to go back to the prior districts or find something that's legal before you have your election. That's our remedy.
Well, gentlemen, thanks a lot for spending the time with us. Is there anything else that you'd like to point out about this class action lawsuit that you filed against the Sarasota County Commission in federal court in Tampa? Is there anything else that you'd like to point out about this lawsuit?
I don't think so. I just hope we win, right, Hugh?
Well, quite frankly, I hope people follow it because we're either going to stay where we are or we're going to go back to 1950. This is a stand for the progress we've made. We are not trying to regress to segregation or worse. That's what this case is.
Hugh Culverhouse, thanks a lot. Larry Kellogg, thank you. And we will pay attention to what happens to this case. Has a judge been assigned to the case?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is recently appointed William Jung.
All right. Well, Hugh Culverhouse and Larry Kellogg, thank you for coming on WMNF.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Great to talk with you. Well, you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori in Washington, D.C. As you know, the hearings are being held, or the debate is being held, into whether or not to pass articles of impeachment against President Trump. We're going to join that right now. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. Right now, they're taking a vote on a question, and the vote has just started. So we may take some phone calls in the interim until the discussion about whether or not impeaching President Trump resumes. And there's about 14 minutes left in the time to debate or time to vote on the current question. And I have not been watching the hearing, so I don't know what the current question is, but there is a vote going on in Washington, D.C. So let's take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And want to ask you what you think about impeaching President Trump. Do you think it's a good idea? And we'll join the hearings in just, we'll join the debate rather in just a moment. 813-239-9663. Clark is our phone producer today. And if you've got some thoughts either way about impeaching President Trump, we'd like to hear from you no matter which side you're on. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And we should start taking some phone calls in just a moment. Let's take this call. Caller, you're on the air, and what's your name and where are you calling from?
Frank.
Frank, thanks for calling. What do you think about impeaching President Trump?
Well, I was going to comment on the Sarasota thing, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, if you want.
Because I'm in Sarasota, and I'm familiar with that whole business, and I was in District 1. So, and I'd like to thank you, Culverhouse. You know, finally somebody with a little bit of dough got behind it and tried to right a wrong. But I went down there to the county commission, and I couldn't even get in there because it was so crowded. And
this was when they were redrawing the districts?
Well, they had several maps to consider. Yeah, when they were redrawing the districts. And they landed on the Wechter map. And Wechter's the criminal, you know, the GOP criminal there that was in charge of, election fraud and that sort of thing, was charged with election fraud. Anyway, so they had 100 and some odd people speak at the county commission hearing, and 15 or 20 or something like that, and no one spoke in favor of it. So there we go. Everybody spoke against it. At the end of it, they just adopted it, 3-2. So it was pretty outrageous. And Nancy Dietert, who actually had a fair reputation before all this started, is busily ruining hers. And I just think it's, you know, usurping the people's will. You got to take DeSantis' civics test.
This gentleman that drew up the map that originally I think was drawn in crayon, what do you know about him, or at least, you know, what's his reputation in Sarasota?
Well, he was head of the GOP, the Republican Party here in Sarasota, for a long time, on and off, and then he pulled some sort of a, he finagled some sort of thing where he had donated to a a Republican Party, the Republican Party, Republican candidate, you know, as a Democrat. That's sort of several years ago. The details are sort of fuzzy. But anyway, he ruined his reputation as well. And so he's just been in the background for quite a while. And then he wrote up a secret map and distributed it to the county commissioners there. And there you go. And they decided on his.
All right, Frank, that's it on the Sarasota lawsuit. But what now, what do you make of impeachment?
Oh, well, I think he should have been out a long time ago.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Well, his whole enterprise there is basically a criminal enterprise. You know, he has a fraudulent charity. He had a fake university. He's paid out all these fines. You know, he dalliances with porn stars and playmate models and all that sort of thing. And he just hasn't done anything that's good for the country. It's all trying to, you know, do something good for Donald Trump. And it's just, you know, the emoluments thing is pretty troubling. Anyway, I just think he should be gone.
All right, Frank, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. And we're asking people what they think of impeaching President Trump. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And just looking at some of the emails that have come in, let's see if we can get one about impeachment. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We are going to join those hearings, or rather the debate in the House, in just a few minutes. And I know some people are having trouble calling in. I know you're getting cut off. But just keep trying, and we'll put you on the air. In fact, I might just bypass our phone room for just a second, just because our phone answerer seems to have some trouble. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Rob. It's Sean.
Hi, Sean. Okay, what do you think about impeachment?
You know, I agree with the last caller. Trump has committed so many impeachable offenses, and the Democrats, they seem to be very wary about stepping up. But the big thing that really concerns me is Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham also, their willingness to forego constitutional norms and even have a vote. If Trump is completely protected by a Republican Senate majority, then he basically becomes a dictator, untouchable by law until 2020. And who knows what damage he can do between now and then.
And the Republicans, though, in the House this morning have been saying that President Trump has done nothing wrong. If you were to able to have a conversation with one of those Republicans right now, what would you say?
I would say they were completely disingenuous. And had a Democrat done what Trump did, they would be going nuts. They're complete hypocrites, in my opinion.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. And we're going to get us the views of more people right here now on 88.5 FM. Let's go to Teresa in St. Pete. Hi, Teresa, you're on M&F.
Hi. First, I want to make a comment about the impeachment. Of course, the Republicans aren't going to vote to impeach him because, like you say, they don't think he did anything wrong, but he did. And, you know, we can't do much about that. They're going to do what they're going to do. And the other thing is the gerrymandering, when he was talking about the racial gerrymandering, discriminating against the black people.
Right, in Sarasota, yeah.
Who needs more proof that the majority of the Republican Party are racist? I mean, they've been doing this all across the country. The people that are in charge of the redistricting and all that in the House and the Senate and in the state legislation, you need more proof that the majority of your Republican Party are racist? I mean, there's proof right there. They purge people off of the voting rolls and, you know, I don't know. How much more proof do you need?
All right, Teresa, thanks. Thanks for chiming in. Thanks for giving us your views. And let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Luigi in, I think Luigi's in Tampa. Hi, Luigi, you're on M&F.
Yes, Rob. Good morning, and nice to have you back. I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm from Sarasota. I just want to give a little more quick input on the gerrymandering issue. That District 1, and I live in the District 1, I live a quarter mile from the celery fields. A lot of it encompasses what we call East County. It's a lot of the rural area out there that developers, you know, are seething over to get their hands on. Part of the problem here is overdevelopment in District 1, the entire county, but more so District 1 because we have all this land out east. And Mr. Moran, who is our current commissioner, always 100% not only sides with the developers, but sides for more dense development. I would never tell a farmer that they can't, you know, put some houses up on their land, but they want to put hundreds of units on, you know, 2 acres of land. So this situation with redistricting is really all about developers and their dark money, because that's how Mr. Moran and a lot of these guys, dark money's legal, you've had shows on it, but the people in this county don't want overdevelopment, and they knew it would have been a fact if they didn't redistrict.
That, you know,
Moran would have got voted out.
What little I know about Sarasota, reading the Sarasota Herald Tribune and talking to a few people in Sarasota, development is a huge issue politically, and has been so for many years now, that there's a whole group of people that would like to see Sarasota not develop as fast as it has over the last 20 years.
Yes, and this is exactly why we want someone like Fred Atkins to represent our district. We live in District 1. We voted for single district commissioning 2 years ago, and the funny thing was the current commissioner is different. There's one newly elected person on there, but the other four sided with the other commissioner that was just replaced and said, oh, you know what, that referendum was worded like to confuse people. The people really didn't want single districts because they knew if they had single districts that Mike Moran would be defeated. So this was their way with the gerrymandering to keep Mike Moran in and therefore feeding the developers.
All
That's
right.
My whole take on it.
Luigi, thank you. Thank you for calling from Sarasota.
Thank you, sir.
Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Just in about 4 minutes, we're going to go back to the House of Representatives and hear what the debate is over impeachment. It'll restart in about 4 minutes. Joy writes this. She's concerned about gerrymandering of a new town called Indian Beach and Longboat Key. And she says that that's helping keep Vern Buchanan in office. Joy, thank you for that. DeMarco writes almost a book-length email. And DeMarco, I can't begin to do that justice. If you could send 3 lines, I promise I will read it. Chip in Tampa says, impeachment has no chance of passing the Senate, so why bother? It's a ruse by Democrats to give the illusion they're against Trump. Impeachment is a complete waste of time and distracts us from real issues, and MNF is doing its listeners a disservice by spending time on impeachment, writes Chip in Tampa. Chip, thank you for your views. 813-239-9663. I hope you heard the interview I just did about Sarasota and gerrymandering. Let's go to Bob, who's in Sarasota. Bob, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
I actually was going to say something else, but I think Chip might have nailed it right on the head. It seems like such a distraction to even bother with the impeachment. I'm not a judicial scholar in any way, shape, or form, but I'm curious. Okay, so he's impeached by the House and not by the Senate. What happens then?
Well, what happens in the House is it's essentially an indictment. Over in the Senate, it's essentially a trial.
Okay.
And what happens then is that if he loses the trial and a majority of Senate votes to remove him, he could be removed from office. Now,
okay.
It doesn't look like that's going to happen right now because I think...
Let's say, you know, dreams do come true and he's impeached. Is it immediate? I mean, like at noon tomorrow... Or is there a process, and then we have Mike Pence as president? And then what happens in November?
Well, I think that's a good question. I'm glad you raised it. What do you think? I mean, you don't think that it would... I take it sounds like you're not a fan of President Trump.
I'm not a fan of President Trump, but I'm definitely not a fan of President Pence and what he could do.
So you would rather keep President Trump in office?
I would rather us not be so partisan. I mean, is there no decent Republican senator or two that stands up and say, this guy isn't representing me as a Republican?
William Weld, who's a candidate for the Republican nomination for president, said last week that he thinks that there might be six Republican senators who would vote to impeach President Trump. And if so, I think there's a lot of party discipline right now in the Republican Party, and I think they follow President Trump fairly closely. I think they're worried about being primaried by somebody who's closer to President Trump than somebody who's further right, exactly. That's what they worry about in the U.S. Senate.
It's scary.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot.
No problem, Roger.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. That's the number that you can call. It looks like we have about a minute before the House goes back to debating the articles of impeachment. Let's go to Brad in Tampa. Brad, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi there, Rob. I kind of want to agree that removing President Trump would put Pence in power. And while that's not ideal, I don't think that he would necessarily have enough time in office to do damage that is 100% irreparable. And B, I think the impeachment process, while it's important to hold Trump accountable for all of the things that he's done, I think, at least to me, the bigger picture seems to be that we need to send a message. We need to set the standard that the American people won't stand up for crimes of war and for all of these things that Trump denies that he's done.
Do you think that Vice President Pence is as good a salesperson as is President Trump?
I don't think he's necessarily as good a salesperson. I think that's why Trump got the president's spot, is because he himself and he doesn't necessarily need to know the policies and such, which is why if he gets impeached, that Mike Pence, he knows those policies and he knows how to work them to his advantage. And so, like I said, it is definitely not a desirable outcome. But I think the impeachment of Trump is really necessary to set a precedent for future presidents, to let them know that this is not something that we as a country support or stand for.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. Thank you. And we're going to continue with the phone calls for just a few more minutes. It looks like the House has not begun the debate. When they do, we'll join it. Adam writes this: unfortunately, you can't not have a rational conversation with Republicans who think Trump did nothing wrong. It's like talking to a flat earther. No matter how many facts or research or things you show them, they deny reality. It's truly a cult of personality. Those are Adam's words. And let's go back to the phones. And it looks like Kaylee in Zephyr Hills has been holding the longest. Kaylee, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. I really like the last two comments. I think we do need to send a message. He did wrong. There was a quid pro quo, and you know, this letter that came out last night, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it.
The Nancy Pelosi letter?
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic case of his narcissistic gaslighting.
Kaylee, I think every American should read that letter.
They should. It's pathetic. It's paranoid. Everybody should read about what gaslighting is too, and about narcissism, because what he's doing is preying on people who don't have either the knowledge or the intelligence or understanding to know what he's doing. He's manipulating constantly.
All right.
By showing he's pathetic.
Kaylee, thanks a lot. Thank you for your comments.
Alrighty.
Great to hear from you. And just reading some of these emails, Kevin writes this: why not let Bolton and Mulvaney and Don McGahn testify if President Trump has done nothing wrong? That's Kevin's point. Let them testify and then find out what they have to say, writes Kevin. And let's go back to the phones. It looks like Patty in Sarasota has been holding for a while. Patty, thank you for calling in.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. What's up?
Okay, I'll try to be brief because I tend to ramble. Number one, where what I find it to be interesting, you know, cult of personality, is kind of like the Gestapo circling the Führer. So that's kind of how far they've gone mentally. And again, I usually bring up the whole idea of supernaturally only God can remove them. And the things on the earth may be moving towards that, because I think Trump's done his purpose, perhaps, for a couple of things I actually have agreed with. And it's interesting to watch this. But my main concern that I'm praying for is, while he's still in, any damage he can do, and should he be finally voted out or impeached out, we really, really got to think about what he could do on the way out. Because he's a little above and beyond like some humans that are put on this earth. They have this extra otherworldly power. And you can see it, right? We've seen it happen, waves of being able to influence. So that's why I do believe that there's things behind the scenes we need to believe in and pray for, that restriction on that power. And so that's what I'm hoping for.
All right, Patty, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. Let's go to Christine in Sarasota. Christine, you're on M&F. Oh, I just cut Christine off. Christine, if you call right back, I will put you right on the air. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on M&F.
Thanks for the show, Rob. Two things. On the cult of personality, I think it's more the cult of conservative media, and it's a tribute to how well misinformation and disinformation works to their listeners, that's why you have such a hard time arguing with them. But I was also thinking about the gerrymandering that you're talking about. I know both parties do it, and I was thinking back when the Democrats controlled the state of Florida. Maybe you'll know this because I'm not aware of this, but did they gerrymander the state to maintain power? And over that course of that time, did they sort of ungerrymander to make the districts more fair and balanced? And that's when the switch happened to where the Republicans started taking over. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, John. You know, the Democrats did gerrymander, and although I don't think that you'd see as oddly drawn districts as you see today, even after the Florida voters passed the fair voting amendments that would ostensibly outlaw gerrymandering, it's still up to the courts to finally decide the district maps. And if you look at some of the district maps, they jump over counties. People don't have a geographic connection. So I would say, and some people would disagree with me, I would say we still have gerrymandering here in the state of Florida, despite what the voters said about 4 years ago. Christine is in Sarasota. She is talking to somebody right now, and I would like to put her on the air, but apparently I can't grab her. So let's go to Neil in St. Petersburg. Neil, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, just 3 points for any Donald Trump supporter listening. If you remember Benghazi, could you imagine if Hillary refused to testify, Obama turned over no documents? So I think Republicans would say that that's totally fine, and she shouldn't have testified, he shouldn't have handed over documents. As for gerrymandering...
Let me just stop you there. Why do you think Democrats don't raise Benghazi more in fighting back against the Republicans?
Because they're lame. Because, unfortunately, they're lame. It's just they just don't know how to make the salient point and to make it universal and stick to it. Because if they did, it would be a winning argument. Because you can't say, as a Republican, that you would have thought it would be fine for Hillary not to testify and Obama not to turn over documents. You have to now take that stance if you're supporting Donald Trump. Otherwise, you're really, you know, you're just a hypocrite.
All right, and your other 2 points.
Yeah, when it comes to gerrymandering, what's happening is 10 years from now, the gerrymandering won't matter because all the new immigrants, the, you know, people of color, you know, they're all now moving into the rural areas. They're moving into the areas of blight, like in upstate New York and Michigan, and they are transforming those communities. And the people of those communities actually like the immigrants. They're helping rebuild their cities, but they're not going to be voting Republican. So even the gerrymandered districts 10 years from now, it's just not going to work. So I just really don't know. You know, this is like the final end game for the Republicans, and they'd be better off, you know, jumping on the bandwagon. And I forgot the third point, but it was a good one, too.
All right. Neil, thanks a lot. Great call.
Happy holidays, Steve.
Happy holidays to you. Let's go to Joe in St. Pete. Joe, thank you for calling in.
You know, there's so many problems with Trump. number one, his whole administration has been anti-education, anti-people living below the poverty level, anti-people that have disabilities. He's just been a horrible president. But the thing that bothers me more than anything else is the control he has over the people in the Republican Party. It's very offensive to me to listen to these House committee meetings, meetings, and to hear the Republicans spout lie upon lie upon lie and disinformation and just put it out there as if it's truth. And it's offensive because they're hoping that we're going to believe this and we're going to swallow this nonsense. This is offensive, and it's more offensive that not one of them thinks independently. They all follow him like sheep. I just don't understand it, but it's extremely offensive to me to have to listen to any of them talk. I feel I turn them off. That's how bad it gets.
All right, Joe, thanks for your views, and great to hear from you. And here's an email from Jackie. Jackie says, I live in New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik's district. Recently, she sent a return postcard to her constituents asking if we favored, opposed, or were unsure about impeachment. Great that she did that, but I still feel she needs to be voted out of office based not only on her voting record, but also on defending Trump. Likewise, with any others in Congress who defend him, I think there's clear evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors, writes Jackie. Jackie, thank you for that. And then DeMarco writes, Republicans need to stop gaslighting. There's no choice but to impeach the crookedest president ever. It's our constitutional duty. If they leave Trump in office, they will be kingmakers and complicit in subverting U.S. democracy, writes DeMarco. Well, the House is still voting on impeachment rules. Let's still take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Jeff in Newport Richey. Jeff, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. First of all, it's funny to hear the people who want to abolish the Second Amendment and the Electoral College say they're impeaching the president with no evidence to protect the Constitution. But what I really called about was that guy who brought up Benghazi. Hillary Clinton didn't testify. 39 times she said, I don't remember. She admitted her mind is a sieve. That wasn't testimony. That was blocking.
Well, she did sit there in the witness stand. She did sit there in the witness stand for 12 hours. You're saying that she didn't say anything during that 12 hours? You're saying she said nothing during that 12 hours?
She said a lot. She said, I fail to recall. I do not remember, and I have no recollection. 39 times.
Well, but it takes longer. If you say that 39 times, the 12-hour testimony was a lot more in-depth than that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of the talk.
You can say I don't recall in about 39 times in about 2 minutes. So what did you say for the other 11 hours and 58 minutes?
This is the part where you cut me off.
No, this is the part where I ask a question.
Yeah. You're an idiot.
Do you want to answer the question? All right. Thank you, Jeff in Port Richey. And let's go to Anthony in Clearwater. Anthony, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, I guess I was just calling in to give my opinion on why Trump is so popular. I think it has a lot to do with the rapid growth of inequality. And is offering a prescription for that problem. And meanwhile, the Democrats just seem to acknowledge that there is a problem, and they think that more of the same is going to fix it. And I'm not saying that Trump's prescription is correct. I think it's incorrect, actually.
Anthony, when you say inequality, though, what do you mean? What kind of inequality are you talking about?
Just the rapid growth of wealth inequality. That we've seen over the past couple of decades.
And do you think that he would do anything to fix wealth inequality? Do you think President Trump is doing anything to fix it?
No. But I think that his persecution of migrants is kind of a distraction and a false fix, if you would. I don't...
That's a way to say to... people that are not migrants, I'm on your side, and they're the ones taking away your wealth. It's not the rich people that are taking away your wealth with high interest rates on credit cards, for instance. It's the poor people that are mowing your lawn. They're taking away your wealth.
Right, exactly. And meanwhile, it's the wealthy people are just hoarding more wealth, and the Democrats seem to refuse to acknowledge it. So you have one party.
Do you think that any Democrats are talking about wealth inequality?
No, I definitely think there are some, but I would say the Nancy Pelosi majority of the Democrats are trying to walk the line of not offending wealthy donors. And,
okay. Well, Anthony, thank you. Thanks for your phone call. And let's go to Mark, who's in Pittsburgh. Mark, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I called your show, and I always enjoy listening to you. I've been working a lot, so haven't listened recently. But I'm up here near Pittsburgh, and I was telling the call screener, I saw the movie at Harriet Tubman. It was an excellent movie. But one of the things about Benghazi, since it's brought up, and it's not a bad argument, it's not a bad observation, I worked at U.S. embassies, and I think the most startling fact that blows me away about, and it's so sad, but most Americans, they don't even know where our embassies are. And if you tell them, they don't know the difference between an embassy and a consulate. They don't know. Some of them are attached. Some are in different cities. And most Americans don't know that Benghazi was neither. It was not an embassy. It wasn't a consulate. It was a CIA civilian compound. And they think that those were soldiers that were killed. They were actually contractors. Civilian contractors, a couple of them were worn in uniform, but they were working for cash. But I think one of the biggest points to me that drives home the point most, the final decision maker was not Hillary or Barack Obama. It was the advice that was given by General Dunford, who was a U.S. Marine and who went on. He had worked for George Bush Jr. He worked for Barack Obama, and he actually worked for Trump. And he's just left recently, like within the last year. And actually, Kelly and Mattis and another Marine Corps generals, they all looked up to Dunford. Dunford was probably the most senior Marine Corps officer and the most calmest, most experienced from a combat standpoint. And that's how it goes in the Marine Corps. They especially with officers, but with all ranks. But it's just
so you're saying that Dunford made a bad decision?
No, actually, Dunford said, "Let's not send alive American Marines to go get dead bodies because the nearest rescue force." And actually, whether I didn't even realize that at the time, but I was a part of a training operation in Hawaii, Rob, where we were creating FAST companies, which are Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Teams. I didn't know that's what we were doing. I knew I was part of an exercise because I was part of a military unit, a Marine Corps unit that was involved in it. But actually, those were created. That's a modern-day phenomenon. They're only about, I think, 10 years old. They're called FAST companies. And the nearest one was in Rota, Spain. Makes sense. But if you look at the flight time from a CH-53, which is what Marines will fly in to get to you, when they show up, they can show up with a lot of firepower coming out of the helicopter carrying their own weapons. Not the helicopter's not an assault weapon, but nonetheless, it has its ability, light ability to defend itself. But if you take the weight of a CH-53 with fully loaded Marines, the amount of Marines it would have taken to get to that compound, and the distance, the time and the distance, it would have taken at least 7 or 8 hours to get over there across the Mediterranean. Those people were all dead within, I think, like 3 hours. So
yeah.
Dunford said, let's not let Americans die over corpses. And I agreed with his decisions. But therein lies one of the differences between the personality of the current president, him being smarter, he's the best at everything. He can't take advice. So he's not going to take advice. And that's dangerous for us. And that's why the deal with the Russians and the Ukrainians, many, many conservatives, they don't know the difference between the Ukrainians are the enemy and the Russians are our new allies. There's not a lot of Christianity going on there, if I were to guess. But I just,
right.
It just blows me away how stupid they are.
Mark, thank you. Thank you. And thanks for that, your military expertise. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. The House is still voting, this time on new rules for debating impeachment. So let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to William in Tampa. William, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Rob. I'm calling as a result of the individual from Pasco County who called ranting about Hillary Clinton's...
Yeah, Jeff, yeah.
Well, apparently he has a very selective memory because one of our current senators was being investigated for fraud because of the outrageous bills being submitted by his healthcare company. And when he was questioned about things, he used the Fifth Amendment 75 times to avoid being truthful about his corrupt company, so to speak. So if this guy wants to talk about Hillary Clinton saying 39 times he can't recall, what about that?
What about Rick Scott, you're saying?
Ricky.
Yeah. What about our former governor, now our U.S. senator?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, he needs to be quiet about Clinton saying 39 times, which he couldn't remember, when this one wouldn't use the Fifth Amendment 75 times. Some may say, well, that's a right, that's constitutional privilege, blah, blah, blah. But as far as integrity is concerned, Tricky Ricky has none. He had that slogan about, let's get to work, when he's running for office. Yet, he privatized many of the prisons in the Department of Corrections, and those former or even current prison guards had to reapply for their jobs at a lower rate.
Yeah, that's a great point. William, thank you very much. Thanks for making it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. 217 area code writes this: if what Trump did was wrong, he needs to go. The Republicans should not politicize this, and the Democrats should not fear Mike Pence. Impeachment, which seems to be one ultimate tool crafted in the Constitution, should be based on your instinct after reviewing the evidence, writes 217. And Barbara writes this: I like the Ralph Nader idea of not sending to the Senate impeachment and keep it hanging over Trump, writes Barbara. And Amin writes, impeach or don't impeach, it won't matter. Both corrupted Democrats and Republicans, they both voted for $738 billion in military spending yesterday, writes Amin. All right, Amin, thank you for your email. And let's go back to the phones. It looks like Brian in Lakeland's been holding for a while. Brian, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, sorry, I'm kind of sick right now. I just wanted to say, can we all stop comparing people that voted for Trump to Nazis? Because we're not killing millions of people and putting them in concentration camps. And I also kind of have a joke. There was, I think it was the state secretary, Nazi by the name of Roland Freisler, who killed tens of thousands of people during the Nazi reign. And he, during a trial, he went on recess, and there was an Allied bombing raid during that as he was about to kill people in court that did nothing wrong except for standing up against the Nazis. And a bomb landed in his room during recess and killed him. But, yeah, we're not Nazis. I voted for Trump because he was the only candidate. I'd like to see some other Republican candidates that I could vote for. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, Brian, thanks. I hope you feel better. There are going to be some other Republican candidates. Not all are going to make the ballot because I think in some states the Republican Party is going to keep those challengers off the ballot. One name to look for is William Weld. He's running for the Republican nomination next year. Let's go to Greg, who's south of Sarasota in Rotunda. Greg, you're on.
Hi. There's at least three different instances where Donald Trump put his personal gain over national security. He vetoed Congress and the U.S. public who wanted to pull out of Yemen. He overrode that because he wants to keep close to the Saudis. He then he, you know, asked the Ukrainian president if he could get dirt on Biden, you know, and withheld military aid. People died in both of those instances. And then he's got twin Trump towers in Istanbul, Turkey, which is why he after talking to the Turkish whatever president or leader, he withdrew American troops.
And Greg, I'm so sorry, we're out of time.
Well, he betrayed the Kurds.
Yeah, that's true. Greg, thank you. I wish we had more time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. That's the comment line. Leave your comment there, and I'll play your comments on the air tomorrow. Coming up in the next hour on the Midpoint program, Janelle should have an interview with State Senator Daryl Rahsaan, and I think she's planning also to play some of the House impeachment debate.